Wogan is not bad. Very, very prominent ears. Have you noticed them or have you not noticed them? You have a look the next time. He keeps them well hidden. But when he gets excited, sometimes they pop out. The figures of this race will be slim, tend to be taller than most sub-races, but not giants. The foot is also very slender, mainly because of genetic engineering, but also because of the effect of sport. I'll be telling you some things later on about sport which will help you to understand it. One of the things is that gravity is getting less on the Earth. The Earth is slowly dematerializing. Now, for heaven's sake, don't quote me in the press or anything like that. When I'm talking about dematerializing, it is dematerializing so slowly that they are registering it. They are registering it, but not significantly yet. And I'm talking about a root race that is a million years from now and a sub-race that is just coming in. And so the feet, they're going to be not hollows, but depressions developing behind certain structures and in front of certain structures. You're going to get a depression there in the cubital fossa where they take blood from you sometime. And that depression there will coincide with the chakra, the little baby chakra that lies in the cubital fossa. And if you're a healer, you don't go to the heart, you can go to that one if there is blood poisoning or something near it. They're going to be indentations developing into quite deep structures behind the knees in the cubital fossas. In women, more and more women will not produce endometria. They will be recognized and they will be told that it would be better if they did not try for children. And it'll become so common that it will be understood that this is going to be a racial feature, a characteristic of, well, they'll give it some funny name, but that's what it is. And not all the genetic engineering in the world is going to change that. The endometrium either is not all present or it atrophies. There'll be a thickening of the labia majora, a thickening of the labia majora. In the male, there'll be some regression of the male organs. In the same way, there'll be quite a lot of cryptorchidism, which means that the testes do not descend all the way. And that will become so. In other words, I'm saying that those who are female and a little masculine will have these features accentuated. Those who are male but a little female with it will have the qualities that I have just described. In the new sub-race, bulk is sacrificed for movement. Bulk is sacrificed for movement. An extra layer of pigment cells will be laid down at the back of the eye, partly as the result of the exposure of the eye to light, electric light, of course, at night. There will be an extra. This may be a bonus. This may be a bonus. So little is known about it. It may be a bonus. It may be something that will enable mankind in the new sub-race to begin to see into the etheric world, the Hyperborean continent, as it was described by Annie Besant. I want to make some announcements. After tea, I'm going to take you further into this fascinating subject of the sixth sub-race, for the very good reason is that it's a field of investigation. It's also a field of service for you. There are three things that take man out of the fourth kingdom into the kingdom of soul. Three things: service to mankind, meditation, and a study of the occult classics, the perennial wisdom, if you like, the ancient wisdom. Three things that will take you. Assuming that your karma is average. Sometimes a person's karma is so awful that you can't do anything for them. Not just that they're accident prone. I could go around and give you a list of 10 or 20 names of famous figures who are accident prone and are going to bring disaster to everyone around them. That's a different matter, especially when Mars is badly afflicting Uranus in the horoscope. What was I talking about?
Announcements.
Pardon?
Announcements.
Oh, announcements, yes, all right. You've all got this, I hope. I just want to highlight one or two things. When I next appear here on May the 12th, I will be doing a course of in the esoteric sciences, not just touching on the various sciences in such a way that in such a way that you do Europe in 6 days. You know what I mean? That's usual for Americans, who manage to do Europe in 6 days, Belgium in 6 hours, or something like that. I hope to give you material that will help you to understand that this sort of work could change your lives. I was saying a little earlier, service to mankind. How will you serve mankind? Some of those who come to see me, they can't even type. They can't even write English. But they want to serve. What? They'd be around if you put them in the kitchen. You want to think about it. What does service mean? Are you equipped to serve? Are you a sword in the hands of a master? I don't want your sword if it's blunt. Make it sharp at least on one side, and then learn how to sharpen it on the other side. One blade to cut into the material world, and the other blade to cut into the spiritual world. Not that we must live in this world less, but that we must live in both worlds more. America's gone absolutely batty over the subject, but they're so proud they can't accept the title of it. They call it dreaming. A kind of dreaming. Who knows what it's called? Lucid dreaming, that's right. In America they call this lucid dreaming, and you know why they call it lucid dreaming? Because they've discovered that when a person feels himself out of the body, they can get a thing on the old meter. Whatever they measure it with. I don't know if it's an electroencephalogram, it may be, but they get a thing on it. And so they believe that this is the person's in his body all the time, even though he swears by Almighty God that he was not in this world at all, he was moving around somewhere else, they won't have that. So it is a subject that is intensely interesting, and if you're going to do any counseling, you're going to get people who will tell you about this. And if you tell them to run away and not worry about it like the average psychiatrist is, you won't get them back again. So you should know about it. It seems too good an opportunity. Seems too good an opportunity to miss giving you the significance of what are called rounds. When I told you that our fifth race is that, I should have qualified it by saying that, yes, we are the fifth race of the fourth round. What you need to understand is that all things materialize that are living. They start off as a watery cell. They slowly multiply and deposit various materials, and eventually you have the bark of a tree, the wood, the roots, and so on. With a human being, it's the same. Start off as a watery cell, fertilized. The cell divides into a sort of mulberry shape. The mulberry shape becomes a morula, which is like a dimple in it. And it goes on progressively until you have a watery fetus, and slowly but surely, cartilage is deposited, then bone is deposited, and eventually, around about 10 years, even as late as 20 years, ossification occurs, by which we mean that the materializing of the bone is complete. And so you have a materialized individual that came from a watery cell. And by analogy, we say the same about the planet Earth. She whom has been called Gaia. Now, the Earth is a concrete planet in physical substance. There's no argument about that. So I'm going to take this illustration of Earth and I'm going to color it in and suggest that it's got continents and so on. Earth. But the proposition is that there is a counterpart to the Earth, which is an etheric structure, not that one interpenetrating the Earth. There is a globe which is part of a chain of seven. And you mustn't say, well, where was it last year or where will it be next year? You can't look at matters which are spread over 1 billion, 2 billion, 3, 4 billion years and try and look at them with our perception. What we're saying is that the Earth is part of a chain of globes. And this chain of globes has two etheric globes. And whereas the Earth is called D globe, and it is solid enough, there are two etheric globes called C and E. And equally so, although the Earth has its own etheric structure, the anima mundi that we talked about earlier, the Earth has also got its own astral world interpenetrating it and standing out beyond it. And so we go on and we say that globe B is an astral structure, and so is F. And finally, to complete the picture of the Earth chain, we have two mental structures, globes A and G. And they exist in mental substance, if you like, dark matter. Structures in dark matter, two globes, can't call them planets, two entities in dark matter, two astral globes in dark matter, two etheric globes very close to the Earth in dark matter. And this is a very old teaching. It comes from esoteric Buddhism by A.P. Sinnott. Lovely little book. Esoteric Buddhism by A.P. Sinnott. And what has happened is that there is a descending curve, because it's going anti-clockwise here. It's coming in and going out. And I'll tell you what it is that is coming in a moment. So we call this the descending curve. And structures materialize: mental, astral, etheric, physical. And here they are dematerializing. But the whole thing is a single process. So what I'm trying to say here is that the life force is part of the consciousness of our solar system, the grand man of the heavens, we call him, part of his consciousness. And so his consciousness enters one tour of these seven globes. And that tour is called a round. And so in comes the life force of the Logos, and you have a passage, an experience in Globe A. And there are seven races making up that experience. Seven races in the first round. Then the life wave moves from the first round, the life wave moves from Globe A to Globe B. And again, it goes through seven races, root races, in Globe B, all astral, the astral worlds, emotional. Now you know why I'm hammering this subject, because science is saying there should be 10 times, 5 times, 7 times, much more matter than we can locate. And it's dark matter. It doesn't respond to space and time. It doesn't radiate electromagnetic forces. It's there, but we don't know where it is. Well, I'm telling you here now, you'll see in a moment something even more amazing, if I can get round to it. So this is the first round, and it goes through Globe B, which is astral. Here is the mark. And it goes through Globe C, which is etheric, seven races. Then it comes to the Earth, and it goes through seven races. Seven races on the Earth. So the first round of the Earth chain goes through seven globes and seven races, 49 races. Because you're looking at something that has evolved over, just the physical globe has evolved over a period of 6 billion years. And you would expect some sort of structure like this, if there was any structure at all. Otherwise it would be chaos. And even chaos we find is structured. And so the round goes on. Here it has been involving itself with denser, grosser forms. And it gets harder and harder and harder for the spirit of the entity to express itself. Imagine being used to an overcoat of a Macintosh with a rubber lining to it. And then they come along and they give you one made of wood to wear. Then another one made later of concrete. That's what it's like. That's what happens as spiritual life forces become engrossed in form. And of course, it's naturally progressive. You wouldn't be able to expect a life force to go from mental substance into iron. We've got iron in our bodies. Do you understand that? Yes, a lot, a gram of iron. And we can move it, and we can flood it with our consciousness. We can change it, and we do. See, what I'm trying to show here is that, for heaven's sake, if you do nothing, when you leave here today, go away with this trying to get bigger. Not because you're daft, but because if you want to proceed into the realm of the fifth kingdom, when in Rome, do as Romans do. And everybody has to have an expansion of consciousness. I always say, when you tread the path, your consciousness not increasing by one, then two, then three times, then four times, then five times. No. It is geometrical expansion. It's one times one to begin with, then it's two times two, three times three every year. If that happens to you, and you can look back and say, well, I've been going at this for 4 years and I have an expansion of consciousness 32 times what it was 4 years ago. You're on the path. You're on the path. And if you don't hit that, well, if you're on the path, I'm on the freeway. And it depends on the amount of time you apply to it and the focus of your attention. I didn't want to hurt you today showing you this picture of rounds, but my God, when you go out into the world and you can talk about rounds and chains and you know what they mean, it's a beautiful picture. And so, the first round. And then, after the first round, see how the first round becomes the second round. And another life wave with all the races again is in motion. The life wave surges around. And then it arrives here, it goes into the third round, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, seventh round, and then off to another chain. And so, when I say that we are the fifth sub-race, let's put it like this, the fifth sub-race of the fifth root race of the fourth round. That's where we are in time and space on that globe Earth. Now, many beings are way ahead of us. Plato, Buddha, fifth and sixth rounders. They were one whole round ahead, two rounds ahead. And that's why this is important, because it gives you things you can hang your consciousness on. So now we see that there is a plan. There is an earth chain, and there is a Venus chain, and there is a Mars chain, and so on. And so there are 10 chains making up the flower, 10 petals, 10 chains. It looks like a petal when you see it in a moment. 10 petals on this solar lotus. That's why these words, why these images are chosen, to help you on the path. On the path, you don't like to show off your how clever you are. What you do want to do is to be able to get those who follow you to understand what you're saying. Anybody can give a talk on rounds and chains, but can they understand it, and can they make you, help you to understand it? And once you can get over this, all sorts of things become important. And so we can say that here is the solar system. There is dark matter in the sun, the center of the sun, dark matter. And we call it the electric... Sorry, I've missed the word. I'll go on. Then we have the heart of the sun. Right, I got it. Thank you. Central spiritual sun. There it is, in dark matter. And it's interesting to watch how the various classical teachers of the subject struggled to explain what this thing was. Is it something or isn't it? Yes. How big is it? Well, it hasn't got any space. How old is it? How long has it been there? It has no time. It's timeless. What the hell is it? And they struggled, and were, oh, I'm struggling to explain these and other matters, and you must be very patient. It's all right for science to say, measure it. I had a professor in medicine in South Africa who said, Baker, if you can't measure it, it doesn't exist. I said, does that apply to love, sir? He said, get up. Central spiritual sun, the heart of the sun, the heart of the sun, and then what the pharaoh tried to depict, he drew the disk of the sun that we all see, the disk of the sun, or the outer surface. And here you have got fusion, atomic fusion, and here you have got all sorts of nuclear fission, and here the central sun itself. So here's the sun. But that's only the center. That's only the central basis, the gynecium of the flower. And the reason why lotuses are chosen is because they express quality, not so much shape and space and so on, but quality. And so we talk about the earth scheme, which has got seven chains. So you see, you've lost. The moment you get your foot onto your feet, I kick the stool out from underneath you. And so we're looking now at a solar system, and the solar system has got 10 of these. I'm not going to get 10 in, but I know you'll forgive me. 10 petals in the solar lotus. And each petal has its own quality. We talk about the earth as being very green, very much on the ray of active intelligence. And indeed, if you look at the astrological qualities of the earth, as seen by people or felt by entities in outer space, she is very green. And earth means sunlight that filters through the leaves and catches you every now and again. And lots of other earth qualities, including barbed wire. Because we are like that. If we think a thing is precious, we put barbed wire around it. We are a very strange people. We cage wild animals. We materialize forms. All sorts of qualities pertaining to the earth, because the earth is one feature of the solar system. And the earth is said to express one of the senses of the solar logos. What sense? Vision? No. Vision is Venus. Venus is developing vision for the solar logos. Visual evolution. The earth is, I gave it to you today, talked to you about it all morning. Earth is evolving the sense of pain. Earth is evolving the sense of pain. And we have organs in the human body which can register pain. Organs in the skin for pain. Organs in the spine registering pain. And regions of the brain registering pain. So it's not so way out. Yes, the earth registers pain. It is the petal that is opening up very fast now. It's been partly closed, but very fast the earth is opening. Venus is ahead of it. Venus is in a later round. I forget which round now. And so you can go around and you can talk about Mars and you can give it its proper ray, which I'm not doing now, and you can talk about Venus. Look how useful astrology is for you. Venus, and you can talk about Vulcan and Mercury and so on. If I had more room, I would have put in all 10 petals. Beautiful structure. We've got pictures of this, and if we had an epidioscope functioning, which we won't have tonight, or if they can get it, I'll show them. And so here is dark matter. Of all the matter that exists here, just the tip of it are the concrete planets. And maybe you can include the etheric part of them. And you could say, all right, well, that's physical matter. There's no doubt about that. And so there is your visible matter, the matter you can hear, the matter that responds to gravity. There it is, the tip of the iceberg. But all the structures that they're looking for now in dark matter are part of the system. And there are millions of them. Millions of them. Nobody's trying to hide anything except the scientists. They're holding back. Scientists are holding back on dark matter because they can't make sense of it. And the medical profession is holding back penicillin. Let me state a truth here. There is no creature more advanced spiritually in the universe having such a dense structure as man. There are beings far more advanced than we are in the universe, but they don't have as dense a physical body. It amazes even those who've passed through it. Because we are dematerializing. We have now got past that halfway thing, and from now on, this planet very, very slowly, and everything on it, slowly dematerializes. It's got to, because it's now going to be on the upward arc. See that? Yes. So now we're looking at dark matter. We're looking at dark matter, structured. We can wait. They'll catch us up. Meanwhile, we are saying that there are living forms within that dark matter, on those globes. Now pick up this one again, please. Let's talk about it.